It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day.
It's about time.
That was a mistake on my part. So let me just do something real quickly. And we'll start the theme song all over again.
It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the refreshing way, the refreshing way, the refreshing way, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness broadcast of Torso Ministry. We thank God for each one of you. We thank you for your love, your support, and especially your prayers. Some of you have reached out, and we appreciate that in this time that we're in. God is so good, and we are thanking God for his mercy and grace. My sisters are here, one of my sisters and my mother is actually listening to the broadcast, so praise God for that. God be with you. It's time for opening prayer at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, loving Lord, we pause to recognize the loving watch care you provided throughout the night for each of us. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together this morning to open up your word. And now we pray for your Holy Spirit to come and teach us this morning. Use our pastor in a mighty way as you give him those words to speak to us and lead him through your spirit. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Most of you know who that was, but for those who might listen for the first time, that was my lovely wife, undreamed of, Sister Maria Flemons. And it's time now for our opening song, It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about it's about time for
My brothers and sisters, we have the privilege of studying 2 Peter chapter 2. Our topic is the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. You know, he knows how to deliver you. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, that other scripture says. Let's read this chapter after we pray. Father, bless us as we be together. Help us to understand the deep things of God and not the surface things. Help us to be clear in our understanding and be watchful servants of the Most High. We thank you in Jesus' name. My brothers and sisters, most people misunderstand 2 Peter chapter 2. A lot of them think that it is primarily talking about people who do vile and evil things, and it's actually talking about the people who accuse people of doing vile and evil things and participate in those accusations. But anyway, let's get to it. There's a lot of things here because God wants us to go to heaven, and he wants to burn out all the sinfulness in our flesh. And a lot of that sinfulness in our flesh, brothers and sisters, has a cloak of religiosity on it. Notice how it begins. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, that's privately, shall bring in damnable heresies. Actually, I say that's privately. Let me make sure of that. Secretly would be a better interpretation. Secretly, privately, privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. Let me tell you how important it is. If you are a pastor, an elder, or anybody that teaches the truth, and you teach something and you have taught something that is not in the Bible, that you cannot support from the scriptures, God requires you to repent. And because you taught it publicly, you must go publicly and let the people know that you taught something that was not correct. And that's not easy because there's this thing called pride, brothers and sisters. And pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But you see, God will give you a measure of success in your ministry if you've been doing what you do with an honest and sincere heart, but he will not let you be lost. Therefore, he will bring truth to you, okay? So sometimes we have to rarely, hopefully, say, you know what, I wasn't correct on this point. I wasn't right on this point. Now, sometimes it's just a matter of what you interpreted a prophecy to mean, and it's not all that, you know, you just say, hey, I used to think, but I found this statement. But you should acknowledge, friends, because people still have your recordings from the past. They've got your sermons from the past. If you've taught it wrong, you've got to say, I taught something that was not right. I didn't know at the time, but God has revealed it to me. And therefore, that way, if they heard you from the past, they will know you're correcting what you taught in the past. Are you humble enough to do that? Are you humble enough to say, you know what? I said some things that weren't right, and I want to correct it at this time. I apologize because I did not know. You see, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And therefore, my friends, that's why we've already read, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What's going to happen is people who don't have this type of humility to be able to say, you know, I was wrong, then they're going to have a measure of success for a while. But it will come a point in time where that success is not going to continue, brothers and sisters, because God will have to deal with them until they are humble and willing to speak the truth. Because they spoke a lie. It's not a lie. They spoke something that was not the truth, okay? And I will tell you, I have had to do that. I'll give you an example. And this is common among people who want to hold up a standard. It's just common. I'm one of those people who want to hold up a standard. Did you know that, have you ever heard the teaching that if a person is divorced, especially if they're divorced on biblical grounds, that only the innocent person in the divorce can get remarried. Have you ever heard that? Well, guess what? Some of you know what I'm about to, what I'm saying, because you've been to evangelistic meetings and revelation seminars, so you know. Sometimes one of the proper strategies of the evangelist is to offer a large sum of money to anyone who can show us from Scripture that Sunday is the Sabbath, okay? Now, that poor minister could be poor and broke, okay? But he offers $1 million to anyone who can show that Sunday, and sometimes they get all animated. They'll pull out a dollar bill. They might even pull out a 20. Maybe they might even pull out a $100 bill out of their wallet. But they'll offer a large sum of money, friends, to anyone who can show that Sunday is this new Sabbath. And the reality is they can willing to do that because you can't show that Sunday is the Sabbath. I'll offer you $1,000 if you can show me from the scriptures, or scripture, spirit of prophecy, where only one of the two can get remarried. Now, the reason I share this, I used to teach that era, friend, and the Lord had to show me that it's not the truth. And you know what I did? I got publicly, it was on this broadcast, and said, you know what? I used to teach this. It's not in the Bible. You see, friends, we're going to learn as we go through this chapter, there's just something about certain types of sins that they just affect us a certain way. And sin is sin, okay? But when you could, people will have more, how to say it, people will have more mercy on a murderer than they will on somebody who committed adultery. That's just how we are. And guess what? If we are that way, we're not going to heaven. There's going to be a whole lot. Let me tell you something. If you look at Mary Magdalene, friends, I don't believe a woman can have 7 devils. That's a perfect number. 7 is a perfect number. I don't believe she can have 7 devils and not have a sexual sin on her record. I don't think it's possible because she's completely full of the devil. And I just don't believe that there would be sexual purity in her life. But do you know God never told us what those devils were? Why? Because some of them most likely were sexual. And guess what? You and I would just let that be paramount in our minds, and we would miss the fact that the gospel changed this woman's life. So much so, God honored her by allowing her to be the one that anointed him prior to his burial with the alabaster box, which was her life savings, which probably came from a life of sin, and she poured it out all on the feet of Jesus. He honored her by allowing her to be the one who would watch, see him at his resurrection and be the first to see him. Not Peter, not James, not John, not even John the beloved, you know, not Philip, not any of the others, brothers and sisters. It was the one who had 7 devils. He was converted, my friends. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. She was in a better spiritual state at the crucifixion of Christ than was Peter himself, who is referred to as the chief apostle. Peter denied Christ, not Mary. Mary didn't curse and swear. You know, Peter was a sailor. They say sailors can curse. I guess they don't have a whole lot to do while they're out there on the boat, and unless their minds are thinking upward into Christ, they just have a lot of time to just, you know, waste time. You see, cursing is a waste of time. That's why I don't curse for different reasons, but one of the reasons I don't curse is that it's a waste of time. If I want to say no, I can say no faster than I can say beep no. Follow me? It took me more time to say beep no than it say no. That's a waste of time. That was a waste of breath. Okay? And you can say, why did you go? Why did you go to the store? And if you don't like the person, you add, so blankety blank blank, why did you blankety blank go to the blankety blank store? Blank blank. Now you see all that wasted time? So sailors waste time. Peter was a sailor. He knew how to curse. And so when they got him to say, you are the one, we've seen you with him, and your speech betrays you. When you're around Jesus, it affects your speech, okay? It tempers your speech. It calms your speech. It ennobles your speech. And you don't even have to scream. You don't have to talk fast. You don't have to talk loud. But your speech will be ennobled, brothers and sisters. And so Peter had been around Jesus and had his speech ennobled, but he didn't forget where he came from. And so when they said that, he had to click it in his brain. Oh, man, I got to stand up stuff again. I told you blankety blank. I don't blankety blank know the blankety blank blank. And then he turned and he saw not eyes of anger, not eyes of reproach. He saw eyes of pity and eyes of love looking at him. And he knew in that moment, he remembered what Jesus had said, that before the cock would crow three times, I think it was, that you would deny me thrice, three times. And he did. And so he went away because of those eyes. You see, Jesus was compassionate. He was loving. He loves sinners but hates sin. So if you love sinners, then why do you refuse to talk to them if they want to talk to you? Okay? Now, I'm not talking about talking to you to get you to sin, but I'm talking about there are people that just need somebody to talk to. There are people that need somebody to listen to them. There are people that want to give you a perspective of something because you heard a different perspective of something and you refuse to talk to them. Let me tell you something. You're going to hell if you have that attitude. So God had me preach this sermon just for you, my friend. We're talking about prophets here. We're talking about the religious leaders here in this message, brothers and sisters, and people in present truth. I'm not even talking about the people in the world. People in the world sometimes treat you better than the people in present truth because we are judgmental often, and we are overly critical, and we think we know how to reach souls. Oh, just bash them with the truth. Preach the truth. No. You've got to show love and show a listening ear. That's what's going to save them, my friends. And so, my friends, I'm here to tell you that that teaching is error. It's error. When you have a vow, and it's a serious thing, brothers and sisters, I'm not belittling fornication. I'm not belittling adultery. No. Sin has its consequences. Many men have lost their lives because they couldn't keep their pants zipped up. And they did wrong with the wrong person. Many people have lost their whole financial fortune because the courts said you can't keep your pants zipped up. Or the ladies, you lose stuff too. Many a lady has lost her life. Many a lady has been physically attacked. Many a lady has had her finances drained as a result of that act. Friends, sin has its own consequences, but we sometimes think we have to add to the punishment as present truthers, okay? That's what we seem to think we have to do, okay? And I'm here to tell you that we're going to have to come up higher if we're going to be like Jesus. He was so lovely, yet he did not countenance sin ever in his life. He didn't support it. He didn't encourage it, but he saved a whole lot of people from it, my brothers and sisters. And sometimes you think about people who have the big, bad sins, and you got sin in your own heart because it's a sin to take up a reproach. Do you know what that means? Let me show it to you in the Bible, friends. Let's go in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. We think of certain things as sins, and we omit other sins. Watch this. Psalm 15, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? That means who's going to go to heaven? He that walketh uprightly. We've got to do the right thing. And worketh righteousness. We've got to do righteous works. And speaketh the truth in his heart. We've got to be honest. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. We're not going to heaven when we talk about people behind their back or doeth evil to his neighbor. If we have ways that we secretly even do wrong to people, that's part of backbiting can be one way. But notice what this is. This is a very misunderstood phrase. Nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. My friends, did you know what taking up a reproach actually means? It means listening to an evil report about somebody, okay? And if that evil report is enough to affect you, like you believe it possible, but you don't and you refuse to give a person an opportunity to clear himself in the matter, that's taking up a reproach. If you believe it and it affects your relationship to that person, you don't talk to them anymore, you won't take their calls, you don't listen to them, that's taking up a reproach. And the Bible says you will not go to heaven. Now, you can come up with all kind of reasons why it's okay. Oh, well, we thought maybe this person might be going to jail. Or we thought heaven doesn't excuse you for that. Heaven doesn't excuse you for that, brothers and sisters. I don't care what you thought. The Bible says if you listen to an evil report and you don't give the person an opportunity to clear themselves in the matter, the Bible says you've taken up a reproach and you're not going to heaven unless you apologize. You see, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, let me see, I'm going to sing 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Listen carefully. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7-9. Got a little early morning voice there. So, brothers and sisters, we've got to confess in order to be forgiven. And I'm going to tell you something. There are people in present truth. I'm just talking about people who believe they know all the truth and the prophecies and things of this nature and believe they're above the world as far as knowledge of the Bible, conservative people. Okay? There are people in that camp who don't know how to say these words. I'm sorry. Just can't muster enough humility to allow those words to come out of their mouth. Two other words they can't say. They just can't do it. Forgive me. That's simple, brother. I'm sorry for doing this to you. Forgive me. Do you know that you can say that in a few seconds? And if you mean it from your heart, everything is restored. It's over. You say it to the person, you say it to God, and God forgives you, and the person has the privilege of forgiving you too. But most of us are too proud to say, I'm sorry, forgive me. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people that think they're going to heaven, but they're not. There's a song that says, everybody talking about heaven ain't a going there, okay? And so we have to have humble hearts. There is humility in heaven, brothers and sisters. Heaven is a place of peace and love. There is no wrongdoing in heaven because every being has the mind of God, so that's not happening up there. But the bottom line is they have humility, and we don't have that. We got a lot of pride a lot of times with preaching. So 2 Peter chapter 2 starts out by dealing with preachers. But there are false prophets among you, even as there shall be false teachers. Friends, if you have taught error and you won't correct it, and now you know better, you're considered by God a false teacher. You don't want to be considered by God a false teacher. Now, God might have brought you all the way to what's today's date. You might have been preaching for years, doing wrong in that way. Everything else you did was pretty okay. But God allowed you to hear on April 23rd that you might have been teaching error. That's because he's merciful, friends, and you weren't ready to hear it back then. people were probably trying to contact you back then, but you weren't ready to hear it. But now you heard it, April 23rd, okay? So God requires something of you, my brothers and sisters, and God requires you to make this thing right with him and right with the individual or individuals who you wrong, who you refuse to talk to, just because, and sometimes, let me tell you what we do. We do people wrong. Like, this is what happens in a marriage. Husbands will not treat their wives right, maybe yell at them and whatever they shouldn't do, and hopefully they don't do anything worse than that, like put their hands on them. But what they'll do is, instead of saying, sweetie, I'm sorry, please forgive me, they'll go out and buy them some flowers. Now, it's nice to buy them some flowers, but the flowers do not take the place of an apology. I'm sorry I yelled at you. Please forgive me. How hard was that? And that will touch her heart and let her know I have a man of God. The flowers will not let her know that she has a man of God. The flowers will be kind of nice, yeah, kind of, you know, whatever. She'll think that she has a sub man of God, okay? Meaning that, well, if she's merciful, she'll say, he should have apologized, but I guess that's his way of saying I'm sorry. And she will not have confidence in you as a man of God. And the same is true for the woman. You might not treat your husband right, and then instead of saying, honey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have acted that way, shouldn't have said that, you make him his favorite dish, okay? And you just treat him nice. And he's going to think in his mind, this is nice, the food is good, but I can't really trust her, you see. And so, my friends, I'm just telling you, I'm just being real with you today. We've got to be righteous for real. It's got to be, righteousness is all the time. You know, we sing that song, Be Like Jesus, This My Song, in the home and in the throng, be like Jesus, all day long I would be like Jesus. We have to humble ourselves. We spent a lot of time on this first verse, and we'll just see how far we get. But brothers and sisters, this is very important that we be true teachers. Now watch this in verse 2. And many shall follow. Oh, you know what? I never really finished Mary Magdalene. So the woman had 7 devils, okay? Most of us believe that she was the woman caught in the very act of adultery. Do you know God never identifies her as that? Why? Because he knows how we are. And when a person has committed a sexual sin, we just automatically just kind of have a place in our minds that we label them. So God knows how we are, and so he never exposed who that woman was who was caught in the very act of adultery. Friends, do you know how hard it is to get caught in the very act by the whole priesthood, by the whole leadership? They set her up. They were willing to let her die if it meant. That's why you don't need to be doing wrong and be part of some kind of ring. I believe she was part of the, because you notice they didn't bring the man out. Brothers and sisters, I believe she was the prostitute for the priesthood. I believe they passed her around and paid her well, and that was her job. And I believe she had such a aversion to religion because of that, that she got in all kind of stuff just because she had no confidence in religious men. And, you know, a lot of people who have tattoos and colored hair and piercings everywhere, some of them are going to get into the kingdom, brothers and sisters. They just need to hear the truth. The Bible says, be not afraid of their faces. Don't look at the appearance. Tell them the truth. Many of them have been abused by somebody, somebody in the church dealt with. And so we just teach the truth in love. And you'll be surprised what God does, my friend. You'll be surprised what God does. All right, so God allowed Mary Magdalene with all that to be the one. He was showing us he doesn't see as we see. And he allowed her to be the one to be first to see him at his resurrection. She was the only one allowed to anoint him before his burial, my friend. And so I am here to tell you that we need to wake up and be like Jesus, my friend. And we need to have compassion over all. Every sin is nothing but something that a demon tempts you to do, which is a fallen angel. And some people get demon possessed. Some demon possession leads to drug addiction. Some demon possession leads to various types of sexual addiction and sexual abuse. Some demon possession leads to, check it out, pride and arrogance. Friends, we're told in a book called Desire of Ages that many of the priests were possessed, but Satan realized he could use them in a better way rather than foaming at the mouth and that crazy. He could use them to control the people. Okay? Reading on. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, friends, this is talking about leaders. See, I remember I told you, this chapter is not what people think it is. This chapter is an address to people in present truth. This chapter is an address to people who are leaders, okay? And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Covetousness, got to make sure I keep the money. You see, we want to make sure we keep our supporters, so we don't want to darken our reputation by, affiliating with certain people, you see, because we got to keep that money coming into the ministry. That's covetousness, friend. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Friend, you will have to pay in judgment for this. So God says he's been merciful. This verse simply is saying God is merciful to you. But you're gonna have to address this. You can't just keep it in slumber. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. Now, angels were made higher than us, because the Bible says in Hebrews we're made a little lower than the angels. But when they sinned, what did they do? Angels took up a reproach. They listened to the accusations of Satan, which were false accusations about Jesus. That was their sin. The Bible says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. God does not take taking up a reproach, backbiting, gossip, false accusations, any of that kind of stuff. He does not take it lightly, brothers and sisters. And the Bible says God did not spare angels, so he's saying, why is he going to spare you? He is not. He is merciful, my friend. Merciful. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, what did the old world do? They listened to the accusations against Noah. That's what they did. And it affected them so much so that all of them except Noah and his family were lost. Let me tell you, accusations are serious, brothers and sisters, and false accusations are very serious. You put pressure on people so that they don't associate with people who may be teaching the truth, friend, and telling the truth. You don't want to investigate. You just stay away, and you use your influence to cause others to stay away as well. And, friend, you know, see, the truth can bear the test of investigation. That's the point about truth. That's why I'm not afraid. You can disagree with me. I'm not going to be when we have our broadcast, we open it up, you can talk to us, you can ask questions, you can disagree, but just make sure it's scriptural, because we are required to make sure we're teaching the truth from scripture. So we're not afraid for the investigation of truth. And so, my friends, when you don't allow someone to explain things that you heard things about, you're not allowing the investigation of truth. And that's not a good thing. All right. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that shall live ungodly. Remember, God is comparing these evil things that were done in Sodom to taking up a reproach. That's what he's comparing it to. You see, we think that's maybe a little bit of wrong, but this is a big, bad wrong. They were homosexual. God is comparing these things of how you treat people to these vile sins, friends. And watch this. And delivered just Lot. It didn't mean just Lot as in only Lot. Lot was a just man, but he would not leave Sodom. This is a powerful message, because there's a lot of good people, and we stay among evil and in the cities and other places, brothers and sisters. And God wants us to start working on getting out of these places. And delivered just Lot, the just man Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Can't stand to hear all that cursing on the streets in front of your house and all the vile stuff that you witnessed. You don't like it. That's a good thing that you don't like it. Lot was vexed with that, but she didn't have the moral courage to leave. For that righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now watch this. Because Lot was sincere. Now maybe he was praying. Maybe he just couldn't do it. So this is a powerful verse. I think everybody should memorize 2 Peter 2:9. Because when the devil comes at you strong, listen to 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. That's powerful. And to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. Friends, there's no temptation. I don't care whether it's sexual. I don't care if it's drugs. I don't care. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Friends, if you want better, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:12, if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted. Friends, you can give your heart to God in a crack house. You can say, Lord, I'm on crack. I know I'm wrong. I want you to take my heart. Please forgive me for this. I got a rock in my hand that I want to smoke. I need your help. Now, God might have a raid to come in and bust through. You might spend a few days in jail, might spend more than a few days in jail, but he will deliver you. If you didn't want to run out, he has a way of delivering you out of that situation, friends. Maybe somebody will go in and rob the place. You see some people shouting. You're staring down the barrel of a gun. God has his own way. If you won't, at his urging, get out of that place, he has a way of delivering the godly out of temptation, my friends. And sometimes it is something drastic that has to happen, unfortunately, for some of us to wake up. But the Lord is good. He'll do whatever he has to do to save us. And so he knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. But I will tell you, he doesn't have to resort to the drastic if you would just move when he first urges you to move, my friends. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter 2:9. Memorize it, friends. That when the devil comes with temptation, you quote that and you resist, he will flee. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. So God is still dealing with your talk, but some people get into an anti-government mindset. We've got to be careful with that. Yes, the government is corrupt. I am not a Republican. I am not a Democrat, but they are souls that need saving, my brothers and sisters. Now, we're not those in those parties. I'm not in those parties because there's deception and some evil in those parties, even in how they practice. You see, politics says, the end justifies the means. So whatever we have to do, whatever we have to say to get the vote, since we're a better party and our party is better for the country, whatever we have to do to get the vote, then we'll do. No. The end does not justify the means. If you're in Christ, everything you do must be godly. And they don't do that, friends. Some people believe that if we have to have a riot on the Capitol, then that's what we do. Others believe we have to have a riot in Black Lives Matter rally. That's what we do. No, I'm not a part of that, friend. And so the reality is that we have to be righteous at all times. The Bible says in verse 11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. God goes back to our speech. You know, you have people that will bring a railing accusation. He did this. He did that. She did this. She did that. It's horrible. The word railing, my brothers and sisters, means outrageously shameful and disgraceful. So, you know, you're going to go into all the nitty-gritty details, and often you sometimes embellish things to be what they are not. The bottom line is God says that angels, which are greater in power and might, God's talking about his angels that are recording what you do. They take some of those recordings back to heaven, and even then, they don't give a railing accusation against you. They say, we tried to talk to them, but they wouldn't listen. Because angels do talk to us. It's not just the Holy Spirit. There are angels, friends, that are trying to keep you back from doing evil. And they're recording angels, and they report back what has happened and what you have done. And it says they don't bring a railing accusation. They don't add anything to it. They don't embellish it. And therefore, friends, God is condemning the spirit of accusers. Satan was the accuser of the brethren. We forget that. That's what he did. And so it was those who took up a reproach who became the third of the angels, friends. So we don't understand that. The third of the angels took up a reproach listening to Satan's railing accusation against Jesus. That's how sin started, friends. Sin didn't start with sexual stuff. Sin didn't start with murder. Sin didn't start with robbing banks. Sin didn't start with taking people's money illegally from some kind of hedge fund or whatever the case might be, stealing millions of dollars from them. Sin didn't start there. Sin started with people, with an individual, Lucifer, a being, making a railing accusation, and other angels not going to Jesus to say, listen, Jesus, we heard this about you. We want to hear your side. We would not have demons if they had done that, but they didn't do it. I want you all to understand sin is serious, and it's deep. All right. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not. Now, this is deep. Sometimes we repeat an evil something, and we don't even understand what happened. The best thing to do, if you don't understand, be silent, brothers and sisters. I have learned through some experiences that I have, I don't credit hastily any report about anybody. And if it's something that would affect me, if I know you or have to have some kind of dealings with you or have had dealings with you in any way, shape, or form, and I have your number and I've heard a railing accusation, I'm going to call you because that's the right thing to do. And you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, brother, sister, listen, I just want you to know I've heard some things and I'm coming to the source because that's the right thing to do. How hard was that, friends? And then you might hear a perspective that you may not have heard. Now, you might not. You might hear some excuses for sin. A defensiveness, and then just give some counsel. Listen, you know, give some counsel that's based on the word. I don't know whether you did it. I don't know if you didn't do it, but, you know, I would approach it this way or whatever the case may be. Pray with the person. You've done your duty, brothers and sisters. How hard was that? How hard was that? But we sometimes take positions and we don't even understand. It's a lot deeper than what's on the surface, brothers and sisters. And so speaking evil of things they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. See, here again, God is taking those who make the accusations and deal wrongly with the accusations, and he's comparing them to people who do real bad sin because that's how it is in heaven. That heaven started with just accusations and listening to evil reports. That's how sin started is what I'm trying to say. So that's serious with God, you see. So God compares it. It says, speaking evil of the things they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they, meaning in the same way, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, but they are in blemishes, sporting themselves to be their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery. Now watch this. It didn't say they were the ones committing adultery. It's just saying your understanding, your mindset. You see, eyes in Ephesians 1:18, the Bible speaks of the eyes of our understanding. If your mind is constantly on that sin and that sin has paramount in your heart and mind, then you have eyes full of adultery. Doesn't mean you're the one committing it. It may be the one, it's the thing you're preaching against. But when that sin is committed, you cut people off. Or when you think that sin has been committed, you just cut people off. You wouldn't cut them off if you heard they maybe stole something from the candy store. You know, maybe you'll preach repentance. They call you, say, brother, you better repent. But let it be something that you think is a violation of the seventh commandment, and you don't want to have anything to do with that person. Friends, God is trying to tell you, you're going to reap the reward of the real vile things that people did. The same thing is going to happen to you. And so God is trying to tell us it's time to wake up and repent, and let's be true godly people, friends. And all it takes is an apology. If you've not done right, God is merciful. And you have influence, if you're an influential person, to teach the way of righteousness to others. So having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Friends, this is not, I'm not saying this excludes the adulterer, but this is talking about those who have the proclivity to speak a lot about these things, to have this foremost in their mind, and therefore they treat people differently. Let's read verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. See, this is how I'm proving to you what I'm saying. Balaam didn't commit the sexual sin. He wanted the money. So Balaam, because he wanted the money, he told and set up the plan to have the Midianitish women go into the camp. But Balaam didn't sleep with the Midianitish women. He was part of the team that set it up for them to go. You see, he tried to curse God's people to get some money, and he couldn't curse God's people to get any money because they weren't sinning against God. So he had to figure out a way to get them to sin against God. Friends, you have a lot of people, and watch this. If we, even, as I said, are in ministry, and we just don't want to make sure that we're not losing any money from our supporters, you see, that's covetousness. We're not basing what we do on the thus saith the Lord. We're basing it on making sure our ministry is supported, our church is supported, and God is trying to help you understand that's the reward of Balaam. Wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked by his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Friends, this is the only time it is appropriate in heaven's eyes to say dumb ass. People use that phrase and call people that name, and that's the not. And if you said, and if they ever said dumb ass is in the Bible, they're correct. Dumb ass is in the Bible, but it's not calling an individual a dumb ass. It's talking about not being able to speak and being a donkey. That's what that is. It was the literal animal that God put the power of speech in. He put the power of speech in a dumb ass. Okay? And so, which was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking. He no longer was dumb. God put words in his mouth. With man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that carry with the tempest, with whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed through her wallowing in the mire. So friends, we've got to have clean hands and a pure heart. We can have that with Jesus. Why? Because God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. But this chapter primarily is focusing on things that people don't realize it's focusing on. It's focusing on those who have an upright appearance and are doing a good work, but they have not cleaned up that aspect of their life where they take up a reproach, where they treat people the way Jesus would have treated them in all circumstances. And God is simply trying to give us a message to prepare us for heaven. You can't go to heaven with the taking up a reproach on your record, brothers and sisters. So let's be careful. Don't listen to evil reports that affect you. Now, I don't have to Okay, I don't have to. You hear on the news that so and so did such and such. I don't have to write a letter and try to, you know, call that person. It's a celebrity. I don't even have their name. They may have done it, may not have done it. But if there's somebody that you've worked with, somebody that you're close to, somebody that you can contact, somebody wherein it would affect your working relationship with that person, brothers and sisters, you're obligated under heaven to go to that person, because that's what salvation is. That's being salvific, and go to that person. And if you don't, God is telling you in this chapter, he's going to eventually deal with you as he does with the very quote-unquote evil, because it's very evil. You're not going to heaven taking up a reproach. You're not going to heaven backbiting. God is merciful, friends. He has told us the truth this day. And at this time, we're going to pray. Father in heaven, bless us now. We thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies. We thank you for the love you've shown to each of us. We ask for your name to be glorified in our lives. Give us grace, for we need your help. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, our topic for health was why you may need a wellness retreat. We're not going to take an intermission because of the fact that we don't have a lot of time. We've got about 8 minutes, so I'm just going to take some time and talk about that. Now, friends, we've got to be real. The Bible says, freely ye have received, freely give. We give out free information every day. We give out free information when people call us. But it does take money to buy vegetables. It takes money to put everything on hold in the ministry and serve someone for 10 days, 12 days, whatever it is. And so we've got to keep the ministry going. If I had the opportunity and ability to have everything always be free, I would do it, but then I wouldn't be able to help anybody, okay? So, friends, it does help if you support ministries like this, by the way, because then we can help those who may not always have all the funds and these kinds of things. But the bottom line is there is a cost to wellness retreats, lifestyle centers, but you may need that. If you find that your case is such that you're just not working for you at home, you just can't do it at home, and maybe home environment is just not what you need, it's not helping you to get through and get better, then you may need to go somewhere. God has established lifestyle centers, wellness retreats, as his system, and it's much better than the typical system. I'm not trying to say that there's no place for a hospital, but I'm saying that when you're not in a situation where you're in an emergency situation where you have to go to ER, but you have a diagnosed condition, a chronic condition, and you're just trying to deal with it and you're not dealing with it well at home, it's much better going here than the traditional system, because natural remedies are much better for you than toxic drugs, my friend. Toxic drugs, they alter your inner workings, and they're just not best for your body. That doesn't mean you can always come off of them, particularly cold turkey, okay? But you should wean off. You should always try to be improving. And as you improve your body, you can get to the point often where you don't need the drug anymore. And that's what we're talking about. Get to where you don't need it anymore, and then you come off of that. So whether it's cancer, hypertension, diabetes, lupus, and other autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, some people have clinical depression, different conditions that people have. Maybe you're just overweight and you're just not working for you and you need to go somewhere. Come to a place like Torso, where that stands for Times of Refreshing Simplicity of Eden Ministry, and be pampered a little bit. And receive fresh organic foods, juices, hydrotherapy treatments, health education, the live free lifestyle. You will live the live free lifestyle here, where we love God, include temperance, drink vital water, eat healthy, get fresh air, rest, exercise, and enjoy sunlight. That was FLIVEFREE, okay, the live free lifestyle. You can learn by getting away from home how to improve your health. And we are picking up in June, but after we do have someone in June, but we have July and August and September and October, my friend. So So if you want to come to a wellness retreat, contact us. We're not the only wellness retreat. There are others out there. Our goal one day, with the help of the Lord, is to even help set up wellness retreats all across this country and around the world. My friends, God is able to do that. He really is. And if we are willing, God is able. And we think too small oftentimes, friends. We think way too small. That's why we quote every day on our broadcast, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. That means now we're supposed to get a lot of resources in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come, eternal life. And then it says, we often quote a beautiful booklet called A Call to Medical Evangelism. It says, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us now undreamed of. That means God has blessings in store that are undreamed of. Friends, I've seen cancer reverse. I've seen arthritis reverse. I've seen diabetes reverse. I've seen lupus and other autoimmune diseases reverse. I've seen people who could not see better, people who could not walk, be able to walk, and all with less and less and less until they needed no drugs, simply by using nature and natural laws. But here's the thing. God is the one who heals. He's the only one who heals. And so, my friends, when you are in an environment where your faith is improved, your faith is what makes you whole. But God says, and I'll end with this, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. This is about healing, my friend. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, that means people with doctorate degrees. He didn't say any. He said not many people with doctorate degrees. Not many mighty, that means people with money. I didn't say I can't use any with money, but I just can't use many people with money. Not many noble are called, people who born into families of influence, noble. He can't use many of them. He didn't say any. He just can't use many. He said not many are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Simple natural remedies, herbs and teas, in tea form and capsule form, and simple diet changes and simple lifestyle changes, getting out of the city into nature and going for walks and getting exercise and that type of thing. God says, I choose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And this is why God can't use that system, but he can use the simple system where we have faith in God, that no flesh should glory in his presence. It's because at a health center, we call it a wellness retreat. Some people call their facilities lifestyle centers. You can have different names. Some of them just call them sanitariums. But the bottom line is, at these facilities, if Christ is there, God gets the glory for the healing, and that's why God uses them, because they will give him glory, whereas the other system does not give God glory. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God is good, my friends. It is 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm going to ask my wife, Undreamed Up, to have our closing prayer at this time, and we'll close out. Won't be able to open the phone line just because of time, but let me definitely do our roll call before we have prayer. We have Ohio. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, Delaware, Delaware again. Ohio. We have New Jersey. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia, and we're your servants here in Pennsylvania. Sweetheart.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word. And we do pray, Lord, that we can study these things out even further, asking for your spirit to continue to teach, lead, guide, instruct, and direct our lives. We thank you for all that you do for us, and we pray for every heart on this line that you will bless us in accordance with your perfect will. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord.